Hi, this is Nick Gillespie with the Reason TV Talk Show. Today we have my co-host Michael C. Moynihan, an associate editor at Reason, blogger and television personality Mary Catherine Hamm, who blogs for the Weekly Standard these days and is also a regular on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News. And we've got Robert Korn Revere, a very well-known First Amendment lawyer who first contributed to Reason, I think, something like 25 years ago?
Something like that.
Okay. And unfortunately, all of your battles are won, so you really haven't had anything to do in the past quarter century.
Right.
Michael, you were talking about Jack Schaefer's article in Slate today about media bias.
What about that?
Made your coffee taste so bad?
It didn't actually. It was a good piece, and I like Jack's stuff, who has also contributed to Reason. The jumping off point for the piece was that I presume, if you were paying attention to the Drudge Report, you saw that 57 staffers at Slate, 55 were voting for Obama.
Right.
So that gave the jumping off point. Is the media liberal the same old fight we've had before in the past?
I like to think of that as, is Slate part of the media story? That's the real.
Yes. Yeah. They're trying to make themselves part of the media story.
Yeah.
So Jack has basically said, yeah, the media is liberal, and so what? Mm. And go fight your battles, and you work at Fox News, which is obviously not a liberal institution.
No, it is not a liberal institution. I mean, I think obviously the media is liberal. I think
except for Fox News.
And it's a powerful voice, and I think it showed that there was an underserved market, just mm-hmm. as they, the success of Rush Limbaugh and other talk radio hosts has. But as far as the other
hate mongering is always popular.
Right. There's a market for that.
There was a market for Father Coughlin.
Yeah.
It was very popular.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
But I think it's detrimental to the rest of the media, as you see the stock prices going down. The New York Times is about to junk bond status at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's problematic for them, and it's problematic for news readers who are not getting the entire story a lot of the time.
Why does Fox News insist on the fair and balanced slogan? Which, I mean, it seems to be done with a nod and a wink. Thank you. I was going to say a nudge and a wink.
Yeah,
I've already redefined Twitter as Flitter.
Yeah.
Slope of senility.
You were just channeling Monty Python.
What's going on with the fair and balanced?
Well, I mean, that's been the slogan from the beginning. I think that they're unabashedly pro-American, and many of their hosts obviously are openly conservative.
You were going to say homosexual.
Yeah.
That was the next thing out of my mouth. Openly conservative, that's part of the plan. I think there have been plenty of studies that have shown that they're certainly less conservative than many other networks are liberal, especially during the Democratic primaries.
Where did you read those studies? Is that from
yesterday or 2 days ago, the Project for Excellence in Journalism showed Fox News, which no offense, I don't watch Fox News for a variety of reasons, but showed that MSNBC had been trending pretty far to the left, and their pro-Obama stories were much more than Fox's pro-McCain.
It was a content analysis.
What I'm talking about is content analysis specifically during the Democratic primary, which showed that they were fairer to Clinton than other folks were.
But isn't this sort of like a national Rorschach test? I mean, we really should be past this liberal media, conservative media stuff. You can really get anything you want out there. The real problem is that everybody's talking past each other. Yeah. You can go all day and tune
Such
into 100
doing
different
to be
channels.
Right now, I mean.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Out of this conversation.
Never listen to an opinion you disagree with.
Right.
You know, all day, all week. And, you know, I tend to support the idea of having branded media where you know the point of view you're going to get. The question is whether or not it's a quality news organization, whether or not what they present is accurate. It'll be pretty evident once you attend to it for a while, whether or not it has a point of view.
Do you find yourself segregating out dissenting points of view from what you like? Or do you find yourself actually reaching out more? Because weren't there early studies of the Fox News audience was actually much more liberal than people had thought, and it was partly that liberals like seeing that stuff?
Well, it depends on how much people like shouting at their televisions.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. To me, it's only a problem when they shout back.
Yeah, that's right. No, you get that a lot.
I mean, but do you worry, you know, on good days and bad? You know, I'm like everyone else. I have good days and bad. But, Bob, do you feel that is there a threat? I mean, this was an early fear of kind of the internet and of electronic media and of the vast proliferation in outlets where you could, you know, effectively redesign your newspaper so you only got the news that you wanted. Mm-hmm. And is that a legitimate fear, or are we in a much better age of just, like, where people really get all points of view?
I think it's mixed.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, particularly with the major media, and licensed media in particular, that the regulations required or strived to make all media, all things to all people. Mm-hmm. So every station had to carry all points of view. Politicians had to have equal opportunities to be on. That's still true with respect to licensed broadcasting, right, although the fairness doctrine is gone, notwithstanding some efforts you hear about from time to time to have spring back. But it just seems we're so far past that in terms of the media that are available. You no longer have three major networks and nothing else in terms of television. You have an unlimited
four
number
major
of choices.
Networks and nothing else. Yeah.
Well,
I want the Dumont network back.
The Dumont network.
That was what Ernie Kovacs.
Oh, Ernie Kovacs, right?
You could probably come up
Jackie
with a really
Gleason
cool
was
logo.
On the Dumont for a while, but
yeah, that's true.
I much prefer just knowing where my media folks are coming from.
Exactly.
That's what I prefer. That's what I like about bloggers is that you kind of know. You know what you're getting when you're going in, so you can go in with a mindset to deal with that. The charade of the mainstream media is what I don't appreciate.
One mainstream media outlet? And does MSNBC count as mainstream media, or are they cable? No, because
at this point, the problem with, and this is I think one of the things that sets MSNBC apart from Fox, is that you've got Chris Matthews and Olbermann hosting the debates. Which would be the equivalent of having O'Reilly and Hannity hosting the debates, which is not, they don't have their anchors.
And we
doing
saw
that
Gwen
kind of
Ifill sandbagging.
Right.
Who did she sandbag? I don't know, with Biden or what?
I wasn't even paying attention. Yeah. Mary,
four glasses of wine, by the way.
Yeah, four.
It was in the morning. So.
You said something interesting. You like to know where your media comes from. Is it a matter of like the New York Times not being honest about their bias? Is that what bothers? Because I enjoy the European media climate where you have, like, if you take the English example, you have papers that are clearly aligned with political parties.
Right.
You know, The Guardian is a left-wing paper. The Telegraph is a Tory paper. It's a conservative paper. This doesn't surprise anyone. They expect the selection of news to be left-wing and right-wing. Here, it's interesting when you have conservatives a lot complaining about the New York Times, not so much about the Washington Times, because the Washington Times is a conservative paper.
But the Washington Times has an official circulation of 100,000.
Oh, I know, of course, of course.
So it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But if the New York Times was upfront about it and said, we are, and you know, I think one of the public editors actually said this, yes, we're a liberal paper. Right. If they said, yes, we're a liberal paper, Fox News is a conservative station, if it was more transparent, do you think that would sort of satiate some of the critics?
I think it would be much appreciated, yes. I think I've never been somebody who thinks you can take mainstream media out of the picture at all, because there's got to be resources for reporting, straight reporting. There's got to be folks who go overseas. In many cases, newspapers don't have the money to do that anymore, partly due to their own bad performances. But I don't think you can take them out of the picture and replace them with a bunch of right and left pundits. That's not going to do the job. But yeah, I think if you're able to parse that reporting, knowing where they're coming from and they're being honest
about
it, I think people will be more friendly
does,
to them.
Right? I mean, everybody knows where they're coming from.
But what's galling about it is the pretense to being objective, yes.
But seriously, shouldn't we be past the debate over this? Yeah. I mean, again, everybody does know that different publications, different channels have a different point of view. I don't know that you really have to have subtitles to allow people to understand.
What's your favorite news source?
Probably the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. And yours?
Elitist.
Yeah, really.
Thank you.
I take that as a compliment, too. That's
despite all the efforts to make that
happen. You know nothing about the real America.
Yeah.
I actually, this go-round, I've always enjoyed the Washington Post a lot of the times, and I've actually enjoyed Jake Tapper at ABC as far as mainstream media
The
goes,
correct answer, great, of course, is Reason Magazine, Reason Online, Reason TV.
Reason TV, above all.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break and pay some fake bills. Hi, we're back. Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, my co-host Michael C. Moynihan of Reason, and our guests, blogger and Fox News contributor Mary Catherine Hamm, and First Amendment lawyer Bob Korn Revere. Bob, you cover a lot of First Amendment issues, including things like FCC regulation, certain cases, obscenity cases. You're not always free to talk about them because you are an agent of, I assume, Saudi Arabia or some other foreign government. But what do you see in an Obama age? How is that going to affect free expression?
From a regulatory standpoint, I expect that the FCC may become more regulatory in certain areas, perhaps less in others. As I mentioned to you before, it's not a question of whether or not there will be regulation of content that raises some kind of First Amendment problem. It's a question of picking which regulation is sort of the pet project of whoever happens to be running the place.
What was the worst element, in your view, of the Bush-era FCC?
We don't have enough time for that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they wanted to regulate content. They wanted to extend the mandate from
but
broadcast
I have to, say,
to cable.
In some ways, there's no real difference between the parties. I mean, this is sometimes a very political issue, but it's not a partisan issue. I speak in this case of the indecency regulations, which I've been involved in litigation in those cases. And this is one that both Republican and Democratic administrations at the FCC have shown a strong interest in regulating. And in fact, if you look at historically, the Democrats have been far more interested in, and activist in regulating indecency than Republican administrations. And I think it
for
breaks
the want
down
of a bra, the First Amendment was lost, right?
But but that's a whole other
thing. Are these things actually effective? Are these regulations? Because the FCC has always been trying, so is it just kind of a drag on a general impulse?
It gets back to what we were talking about before. The media have changed. We no longer have just three broadcast networks, as we did when these when the original regulations were written, we didn't even have television.
Right.
So, but as three networks in television were dominant, that's where it was at that time that the regulations were redefined by the FCC. But now, television is only one small portion of the media environment. You have other subscription media that provide video services. You have an unlimited number of video sources online. And there's just
none
no way for the regulations to keep up with
than
that.
Reason TV.
Yeah,
I think it's called.
I don't know what the. I don't know how to get it on my television device.
You know, I find depending on the weather and this one filling, it just appears like close. Catherine, do you ever? I mean, you're somebody. Your roots are completely in new media, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you started. You've always been online and whatnot. Do you ever worry about any kind of clampdown on what you are able to say?
Yeah, I think there's certainly worry about that, and there has been in the past when the FEC, for instance, was looking at new regulations, and we had to go on a whole crusade to save blogs from being included in that, and it worked. I think also with the Obama campaign specifically, I think you have to look at how the campaign was run to sort of gather how things might go in the administration, and they've shown some sort of disturbingly thuggish tendencies when it comes to hushing critics. Sending out the Obama action team to flood radio stations
the Obama
with
action team. That would explain the
Obama
van that was parked out here
with the big bug on the top of it. Yeah,
I believe it's called the Action Wire, where they get activists to sort of they've flooded the Chicago radio station and sort of
what was
bog
we
people.
What did we they had do? We had Jesse Walker on Hit and Run wrote about another example, and I don't remember it exactly the details of it. It was in Missouri, something about they were complaining.
The Truth Squad, right.
Who
can be against truth?
Had many elected officials and law enforcement officials
and
Missouri. The other thing is they sent a letter to the Department of Justice to go after the American Issues Project, which ran that one ad about
Bill Ayers,
actually was truthful, and there wasn't anything sort of even untoward in it except for that they didn't like the ad. You know, if they had wanted to deal with this organization for having violated the campaign finance rules, which may be grounds on which they could have gone to the FEC or they could have gone to someone else, but they
or
went
their
to
secret Muslim,
right. Secret Muslim
masters.
Overlord.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
But they went to DOJ, which was an obvious.
Is it Qatar or Qatar? I never.
I'm still working on Tony Dorsett versus Tony Dorsett. I'm way out of that.
But people will try and use whatever avenue is available to them. It doesn't matter the party. They'll try and use regulatory means if they think that will help them. They'll try and use law enforcement if they think that will help them. Or, you know, private actions like defamation if they think the law will support them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even if they don't think the law will support them because, you know, you can at least kick up some dust.
And then it just becomes a drag on speech, right? If you know you're going to be hauled into court or have an action squad at your doorstep.
Right. Well, and this is one of the situations where I think the media being largely liberal will cover for a Democrat using these tactics, whereas a Republican will get rightly shouted down more often. That would be my take on that.
Should we worry about the revival of the fairness doctrine? I mean, obviously, there are some Democrats that are licking their chops here that, you know, we didn't hear about this 5 years ago. But now, when you have the House and Senate, you know, clearly going to be in control of Democrats and also the White House, there has been a lot more discussion of it. What do you make of this? Is this just sort of idle talk? Is there going to be a real push?
Or? Well, I wouldn't call it idle talk, but I don't think the chances of it are that great for a couple of reasons. One is, while some in Congress have mentioned the possibility and have expressed an interest, Dennis Kucinich made it part of his.
But he also sees UFOs, right?
Well,
right.
That's true, which is one of the reasons why
Shirley McClain's a whole lot of...
But even someone like Michael Cox, a current commissioner, who his name has been thrown about as a possible interim chair under a new administration, has said that he really doesn't see that as something that's in the cards.
I don't know if anyone else saw this about Australia trying to regulate the Internet. The new Labour government of Chris Rudd, I don't know the exact details, but they're trying to monitor certain things and regulate certain things.
And they're trying to have indecency-type regulations.
Indecency-type. Yes. And it seems to me that beyond the fact that this sort of betrays common sense, can it actually be managed at this point? I mean, there is so much information out there. There's so many avenues of putting your opinion out there, no matter how extreme.
There are a lot of different approaches that different governments use. China has the Great Firewall, of course. Saudi Arabia has everything coming through a central location where they can monitor content.
The U.S. has MSNBC, which just makes people throw their computers out the window.
It goes back to John Gilmore's statement. The Internet treats censorship like system damage and routes around it.
I mean, Which doesn't mean they won't try.
And it does mean, I mean, you can't stop speech on the Internet ultimately, but you can stop speakers if you have a repressive government.
This is an argument I've had with O'Reilly before where, he finally
And he's
said,
a big regulator, like, let's regulate this trash off the Internet.
I used to do a segment about trash on the Internet, and yes, there is plenty of it, and argue with him, the way to deal with this is not to regulate it. If you want
it's
to shine a light on certain
it
things.
It's for several hours a day.
Yes.
Very reasonable competitive rate.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't think the fairness doctrine is a number one priority, probably. But I think it's something that we need to be wary about and telling people about because
something that
sounds so great is the fairness doctrine. Right. When you've got a possible supermajority in the Senate and you've got a very powerfully Democratic House, that stuff can slip right through.
Yeah. Very quickly as we wrap up, who are you going to vote for, Mary Catherine?
I'm a McCain voter.
Yeah? Yes. Michael, are you voting?
I'm not voting.
Not voting. Out of principle or out of...
D.C. resident. It's a mixture of both, you know, and I don't know if Chuck Baldwin's on the ticket in D.C. You know, what's the point?
Well, you can live his platform. Who are you going to vote for?
Generally, I'm a conscientious objector.
Oh, really? Okay.
Generally.
Yes.
Yeah, so
yeah.
But what about this election?
Isn't this the most important election of this conversation?
That's what you keep telling me.
All right, so you're not going to...
And Nick, who are you voting for?
Let
me turn the tables on you.
I just
blew your mind. Yeah, that was pretty intense.
I'm registered to vote because I want to vote against a school bond issue in my hometown in Ohio, and I will likely vote for Bob Barr because of the mustache.
Because of the
mustache. It's been a long time since we've had anybody with facial hair.
That's
true.
Yeah, so I think it's... it's time to go back to the
Al
old
Gore
truths.
Had facial hair after the election.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I want to thank Michael Moynihan for co-hosting. I want to especially thank our guest, Mary Catherine Hamm. Mary, give us a URL where we can find your stuff.
I'm just at weeklystandard.com.
Okay. And Bob Korn Revere, do you want to give a plug to anybody, to anything?
I'm with the firm of Davis Wright Tremaine.
Okay.
Feel free to call.
All right. There you go. He's great at children's parties, especially. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you soon on Reason TV.